Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio, and yes, we are very early, so there you go. I'm the Big Jack. I'm waiting for Dan the Man to join me. He is running to catch his train right now, so he should be here in a few minutes. But anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so you can swing on over there, check that out. Oh, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, I'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know it by now. It's at Sports Time Radio. You can find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. And, you know, when I start off by myself, I always kind of spell it out for you. So it's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E right there on Twitter. So hook that up. Check it out. Whatever you got to do, hunt me down. It's cool. So, yeah, I was in the process of attempting to make sure my fantasy lineup was all set for tomorrow, because you know, obviously you've got to get the certain guys in the game, you know, so they can be there for tomorrow, and then you know you might as well set the rest of your lineup while you're at it. So yeah, I was just kind of shuffling through that, and I've only got one more team to go, so I'm gonna try to do two things at once and see if I'm actually talented enough to do that. I'm a little worried that I'm not. But yeah, oddly, my teams have been really, really slumping as of late. I think all of my teams have lost the last 3 weeks in a row, and it's just been one of those things. I had a lot of injuries early, and I think they're just finally starting to catch up to me, and it's just kind of like, damn, can I hang on here? Can I sneak my way into the playoffs? But yeah, it's going to be It's gonna be a rough go of it here. If I'm gonna get in, I'm barely gonna get in. But you know the deal. All you gotta do is get in, and you never know what's gonna happen. So hopefully that will work in my favor, and I will definitely be able to kind of sneak in and do something. But yeah, it's everybody goes through it. You know, injuries are part of the game, and just kind of how it goes. But it all kind of caught up to me at once, and yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, great, damn it, here, you know, why did this have to happen? But kind of just taking a quick overview at how our fantasy season is going. Todd Gurley is actually the leading scorer in our league, and then Le'Veon Bell is right behind him. Now, if you remember, it was 2 years ago, everybody was down on running backs, and you weren't supposed to touch a running back early, and you had to stay away from running backs. Well, running backs are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the top 9, and you don't see a wide receiver until 10. And believe it or not, it's actually DeAndre Hopkins, not Antonio Brown. Brown is right behind him, and in our league, Brown is a tenth of a point behind him scoring wise, so it's really close and tight there. But yeah, then after that, the next wide receiver is Adam Thielen, who rolls in the 25th spot. So yeah, it's it's definitely a little odd or strange, or however you kind of want to look at it, with the way it's kind of broken down. But You know, and then I noticed one of the other interesting things is it's actually the Baltimore Ravens that is the leading scoring defense in our league. I know a lot of people would think Jacksonville. They are number two. And then it's the Rams, the Lions, and the Eagles to kind of shake out the top five there. So yeah, it's been an interesting, you know, interesting season. 'Cause you know, like I said, again, you get a lot of, you know, a lot of fantasy experts are the ones who are saying, well, you know, you need to stay away from, you know, you need to stay away from the running backs early, and you know, you can pick them up later in the draft. But it looks more and more like now, if you get that elite running back, he can really help you, you know, go on to have a really good year. Of course, you know, in our league, sadly, we get a lot of people who some show up for the draft and actually do the draft, and then we never see them again. And then a lot of times if they miss the draft, that's it, they're done. So, you know, just kind of one of those funky things. But let's get on to some more, you know, some more football stuff. No super, you know, big surprise here or anything, but the Bills announced that they are, well, I guess technically making another change at quarterback. This time they're going back to Tyrod Taylor. Remember last week, Nate Peterman made his NFL debut, and it was the, you know, like here in Chicago, there's a lot of ripping on Jay Cutler still from his time here in Chicago. This was worse than anything Jay Cutler had ever put up in his life. Pete Peterman's outing was just a complete and utter joke. And I'm actually in the process of trying to pull his stats up right now. And for whatever reason, oh, it is Wednesday. So that explains why my internet is such a mess. But yeah, it was just, I believe he ended up with 5 interceptions. You know, now remember, he was 7 for 10 in mop-up duty, you know, against the Saints. And that's what projected Sean McVay to decide, okay, you know, this is my guy, I'm going to give him a start. Let's see, he was 6 of 14 in his start there. He threw, like I said, he threw the 5 picks. He had a touchdown in his first game. But, yeah, it was just a mess. Now, you know, to be fair, he wasn't sacked. But he did try to throw some balls away that were just ridiculous. So no surprise here. They're going back to Taylor. Look, I mean, Peterman wasn't ready, and again, this all goes on the shoulders of the coach. You know, nobody else had anything else to do with it. This was all his decision. He wanted to make the switch there at QB. It was, you know, just, I don't even know what his motivation was. You know, I mean, the Bills were still hanging around in the playoff hunt. They were 5-4 at the time. Now they're 5-5. They're actually still in the AFC wildcard race. I think we both know, or everybody out there knows, that they're not going to beat New England out for the division. They do actually still have 2 games against the Patriots. And yeah, they have a, They have a little bit of a you know, what's got to be considered a rough schedule here. You know, they are at Kansas City this week, and while Kansas City's been struggling, you know, these are kind of almost two teams having the same, you know, issues here with what's going on. So, you know, Arrowhead is a tough place to play. That's going to be a tough game for them to get a win at. Then they host New England. They're not beating New England any place. They do have Indianapolis and Miami back-to-back. Now, you know, Indy has popped up and played a couple good games. Both these games are on the road, but I think that's a couple games the Bills could win. Then they go to New England. You know, that's going to be a loss. Then they host Miami to finish the season. they're looking kind of 8-8-ish, and I don't know if that's going to be good enough to get into the AFC playoffs. So we'll have to see how that works out for them. But Dan finally caught his train, so he is joining us. Did you have to run and jump out like a hobo?
No, fortunately.
Oh.
I was thinking
that would have been a lot cooler. That would have been a lot cooler story then if, you know, it was, but, you know, so. You know, yes, I was just wrapping up some wonderful, you know, Buffalo Bills talk because they decided to go back to Tyrod Taylor this week as their quarterback after the fiasco that Nate Peterman was. So
why did they go away from him?
You know, they never really gave a reason. You know, it was just kind of a coaching decision, and you know, they decided they wanted to make a change. You know, I know after they got blown out by New Orleans, Peterman came in relief and played really well. You know, he was 7-10 and threw a touchdown pass, but you know, they seemed to forget that it was a blowout and New Orleans probably wasn't playing their defensive starters. And I think they kind of got excited thinking they had something in a steal of a fifth round pick this year. And they learned pretty quickly that he's definitely not ready for prime time. So
he's no Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah. So no Mitch Trubisky, no Deshaun Watson, no, you know, none of that. So, you know, just one of those things. So
extra.
You know. But I did see something other kind of humorous football related, and I'm not sure how many Bears fans actually remember this. But at the end of last season, you know, the Bears were 13-3, and Alshon Jeffries going into free agency said, his actual quote was, "I guarantee you we'll win the Super Bowl next year." Now, to be fair, he never said which team. He just said they would win the Super Bowl next year. And, you know, oddly, right now with the Eagles, who are, I think, 9-1 and on an 8-game winning streak or something, he's looking like a pretty smart guy so far, isn't he?
You know, I forget the rules, but how long before his agent was able to talk to other teams?
Well, you know, he said this right after the last game, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything where there was any kind of negotiation going on or anything. He made that comment. It was post game of, you know, after week 16 when, you know, the Bears were just a huge joke. And, you know, they were asking, I kind of remember they were asking him about next year, you know, because there was a lot of talk that he was going to be coming back. And, you know, he made the comment. Then, of course, the Bears decided to go a different way because, of course, you know, we have so many better receivers on the team than Alshon Jeffery. So, and, you know, now he looks like, you know, he may be a bit of a savant. So
how is he faring in Philadelphia?
You know, I think he's doing decently. Let me give me a second and I will hunt down his statistics here for us. I had a cat issue earlier that I'm still kind of working with, so, but we don't need to discuss that on the air here. I think I'm trying to remember if he missed a game because of injury this year or not. So let me hit him here and see what we can get. I mean, I know he's on just a 1-year contract, so he's heading back into free agency next, you know, this off season. All right, here you go. He's got 38 catches for 567 yards with 6 touchdowns. So, he's doing Yeah.
Is that what you expect out of a
You
number
know, I
three?
mean, yeah, you know, it's definitely not number one numbers because, you know, you figure, you know, I mean, he's not quite getting four catches a game. So, you know, you've got to kind of wonder. I think they're paying him about $14 million. And, you know, if they're going to get, you know, just a little over 60 catches out of him, I'm not sure if, you know, if he's worth that kind of money. But, you know, he is the number one, you know, wide receiver on their team, and it seems to be working for him. So, you know, they're 9-1, so you can't complain, you know, too much about the success they've had. And I think he's their wide receiver with the most catches, I believe. I think Zach Ertz may have a few more, but, you know, technically he's a tight end. So we'll have to switch pages here and pull up some Eagle stats and see what I can find receiving wise. Oh no, actually it looks like he's the team's leading receiver currently. Oh no, okay, they put yardage up, my fault. Yeah, Zach Ertz has 45 catches, and then Jeffries is at 38, and the other wide receiver, Nelson Aguilar, is at 30. Interestingly, though, the touchdowns are spread out really even. I mentioned Jeffrey had 6, so does Ertz, and Aguilar has 5. So it definitely looks like, you know, a team that's kind of spreading the ball around. So that's that's always a good thing if you're a receiver. You know you're going to get the football.
Well, isn't it better to approach the game like that as opposed to just throwing to one guy all the time?
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, in some cases, you know, that team only has one guy, or, you know, in the case of the Bears, no guys. So, you know, even though I know everybody was excited to get Dontrell Inman here, you know, so there you go. We got that going for us. So, you know, that's a big plus. But yeah, you know, I mean, all in all, he's had a good year, and I mean, obviously, it helps that, you know, you're on a winning team, so, you know, you can't really, you know, you can't really go wrong there, can you? But yeah, I kind of thought the quote was funny, you know, when it was kind of like, oh, okay, so. You know, that was just the big thing. So, you know, and then Dan, you know, I don't know if you have, if you ended up with Giannis Antetokounmpo, but if he's in your fan, if he's in your lineup tonight, you might want to get him out. He's going to sit out due to knee soreness. So you may want to swap in one of your available players.
No, unfortunately, I wasn't able to land him.
No, yeah, I don't have him either. So, but now, you know, this, you know, yeah, so do I. I think I actually have a guy on the bench who's playing tonight because I think just about every team is in action because nobody plays tomorrow. So,
yeah.
But yeah, this is kind of one of those interesting things, Dan. Golden State is going back to Oklahoma City. So, you know, we're going to bring up, of course, Kevin Durant going back to OKC. You know, it's his second year with Golden State. Is this still a big deal?
I think so. Because of Russell Westbrook and them wanting to beat them.
Yeah, well, you... So, yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, Westbrook wants to probably still kill him. But, yeah, I just kind of wonder if it's a, you know, like last year, I get it. It's a huge deal. I mean, you know, call him whatever you want. You know, I know Trader, however you look at it. You know, I mean, guys are going to go where the money is. But and it is the game, the first game on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight. They have the doubleheader. The second game is the Lakers at the Kings. So I don't know how many people will be staying up late to watch that fiasco, but the Lakers are on a two-game winning streak, if that helps you, Dan. But yeah, I was just kind of wondering, you know, about that. Yeah, well, they beat two bad teams, but you know, you got to do those things. But yeah, you know what I, you know, found kind of, you know, just kind of strange. You know, they're and I get it. You know, the network is trying to build it up like, it, you know, it's still a big thing. And I don't, you know, I just don't think I'm as sold on it this year as it being, you know, I, you know, like I get it. Okay. Westbrook probably still wants revenge, but now do you think it's a better matchup too, as well, since, you know, Oklahoma City had your guy Carmelo and then of course, Paul George.
Well, I think that's why it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal that KD is going back. I think it's more of a, you know, do they have what it takes to beat this team?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, these are big tests. You got to be able to kind of prove yourself. And I mean, what's interesting to me is, you know, for guys like George and Carmelo, you know, this Western Conference style is, you know, it's newer. You know, Indiana was never really a huge up-tempo team when, you know, George was there. And I mean, we all know, you know, Carmelo is a, you know, he's a dribbler. You know, he likes to set his guy up and he'll hold the basketball and, you know, all those things to get his guy set up to score. So it could be interesting to see how they do against, you know, obviously, you know, a Warriors team that's going to want to get up and down the floor, right?
Yeah, but you've got to imagine they can somewhat match the pace.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they'll have a problem matching the pace. It's just, you know, can they, you know, that, I mean, we are talking about a couple guys who are older. You know, I mean, I think they've both been in the league for double-digit years. You wonder, you think they'll wear out a little if the pace is too hectic?
No, I mean, because you're really going to have to go full court going up against Golden State.
Well, you know, you gotta play good defense, though, right? You know, you just can't let them, you know, shoot all over you.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You only have to go from, you know, a guy like Melo who's passing the ball around. You only have to go from at least 18 feet out to the three-point line on the defensive side.
Yeah, well, yeah, you just got to go from kind of three-point line to three-point line, don't you? Because the, mm-hmm. you know, Golden State rarely runs anything inside the three-point line. So, you know, we'll.
And if they do, I mean, you know, Curry has no problem taking it in there, but it's never really, you know, a goal-to-goal run. It's something that he runs from the top of the key. So.
So, yeah, it, you know, it's definitely a game that, you know, kind of piques my interest. And, I'll probably end up watching a little bit of it just to see how it goes. And, you know, then I'll go back for the, you know, the final 2 minutes and spend, you know, 30 minutes watching the end of the game there. So, because, you know, we know how that goes. But yeah, you know, other than that, I was kind of looking at the matchups and there's really nothing, you know, nothing fantastic on the schedule. I mean, you know, we get the obligatory, you know, like the Spurs are in New Orleans, but, you know, New Orleans just never seemed to
take off,
you know, get over the hump. I mean, there was a lot of talk about, you know, they were going to, you know, be the team with Anthony Davis, and yeah, it just never really happened, did it?
No, I think we're all still waiting for it to happen.
So yeah, it's just, I don't know, but yeah, that definitely seemed like it was the, you know, far and away the best game on the schedule tonight. So, you know, we'll have to see how or if it turns out, because you know, it's just because it looks like it's a good game. you know, you and I both know it doesn't always end up that way. So. You know, but you know, speaking of which, you know, good games, of course. Did you check out any Bulls Lakers? You know, last night it was the only game on the schedule. So did you get around to see it?
No, I thought about it, but by 9:30, I was getting ready to go to bed. But with the only game on the schedule, you think they could have started, you know, at 9?
Yeah. You know, it was just one of those. You know, one of those fun West Coast games that happened. But yeah, you know, from kind of reading the recap and stuff, apparently, you know, the Bulls played pretty well to start. They had a 14-point lead at halftime, but then of course managed to give that away and lose. I think they ended up losing 104-93 or 103-94, something in that area. But yeah, it was just some horrendous basketball being played, and it was like, oh God, I just don't know if and when or how the Bulls are ever going to get better. You know, it's so far off. The only guy who seems to look decent is their rookie looks okay. That Lauri Markkanen, you know, he put up a double-double last night, and you know, it's just like, other than that, it's kind of like, okay, why are we here?
you know, do you think they'll continue to build around him, or he'll become trade bait in a season or two?
Oh God. Well, you know, you hope he's here long enough for them to build around him. You know, it's just, you just never know with this team. I mean, you know, we were under the impression when they signed Jimmy Butler that he was going to be the guy they were doing the building around. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, hey, Jimmy's going to Minnesota. So, you know, I don't know with this team. It's just so difficult to figure them out. I mean, do you see him being around long enough for them to, you know, to get a win or to be a winner with him?
I think, it, like you said, if he sticks around, but who knows what this team.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, well, you know, the Sixers seem to have finally made it. You know, their process or whatever appears to be on the right track, but it was what? Was it 5 years of tanking?
Worked out really well in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, that's what I keep thinking, you know, anytime I see, like, you know, the Bulls, who have admitted that they're, you know, they're going through a rebuild, you know, a lot of teams won't, you know, admit it, you know, the Bulls have kind of flat out admitted it, how long is it going to take? I mean, especially now that, you know, those new lottery rules are going to go into effect. And, you know, it's going to be a little more difficult for you to land those top picks. You know, I mean, this could go on. You know, imagine if you have some bad luck and you land outside the top five a couple years in a row. You know, that those picks, you know, probably aren't going to help your team unless you get either A, really lucky, or it's a very deep draft. So, yeah, then you're kind of stuck there. You know, another year of, well, we're going to have to tank another year here. Oh, well, no big deal, you know. And, I don't know, how long do the fans stick with it? Because, you know, the Bulls still draw pretty well. But, you know, how long before, you know, they don't?
Well, you got to keep feeding the Kool-Aid. Maybe LeBron and Melo will come here at the end of their career. That'll help,
yeah. You know, keep going. Yeah, you know, I wonder if they're gonna, do something like that again next year, where they sign a, you know, sign a fading veteran just to, you know, I don't know, help the attendance, whatever you want to call it, you know, try to still get people to show up, you know, yeah, and just kind of like, I don't know, do you think they'll go that route just to be like, hey, let's try this?
Well, they did it with D-Wade.
Yeah, I wonder who's out there next year that they could do that. Well, Wade would probably be out there again if they wanted to bring him back. but yeah, you know, and then, I mean, kind of thinking about Philadelphia, you know, I realized that they never really landed a primetime free agent. You know, I think about the best they did was your guy, J.J. Redick. So, I don't know. I mean, the Bulls are probably going to have that same issue, right? I mean, no top quality guy is going to want to come and play for a bad team, does he?
No, and especially with the front office drama and then the tax problem.
They have a tax problem? Oh, no, we have a tax problem.
Yeah.
I had to look. I haven't heard much of how Redick's doing, so I actually had to take a look at his stats. So he's actually averaging 15.5 points a game. That's not bad. So, but, you know, of course, the most important thing with Redick is how's he shooting from 3-point, Dan? It looks like he's scuffling a little. He's only at 37.2%, so he's going to probably have to pick that up a little bit. I think that's a little low for him, so... but yeah, he's, you know, like I said, he's the only real, you know, real free agent they landed. I mean, they got some, you know, minor guys through the years to fill the roster, but yeah, I just wonder, you know, is this the Bull, you know, is this the Bulls' future? You know, it's going to be 5 years of getting your brains kicked in, and then hopefully by then you've got the team reset.
Pretty much. I mean, would you say they have four more left, or are we further than that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, after seeing them play, I keep thinking they've got more than that left. But, you know, I know, again, that, you know, one draft choice can really turn a team around in the NBA. You know, I mean, if the Bulls get the number one pick or even number two and they land the right guy, you know, that could really help the team take off. You know, again, it's just finding the right guy. I mean, obviously that doesn't make them a championship team, but, you know, it would definitely help them, you know, improve. But it looks like they're going to have some competition down there if they're going to tank for that number one team, because, you know, Atlanta is really bad. You know, and then over in the West, the Mavericks are really scuffling, and so are the Kings. So it could be... You know, it could be quite a race for the bottom of the barrel there. You know, as hard as that could be to believe. You know, you would think there would be less teams trying to blow everything up. But I guess, you know, if you don't feel you can win a championship... So, you know, on the plus side, though, the Bulls are ranked 29th out of 30th in the Mickey Mouse Network power rankings this week. So, Atlanta is the only team ranked behind them. So, we'll have to see how that goes. So, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, I don't think I've watched very much of their games. It's just harder and harder to, you know, to kind of sit through them. And it's like, oh God, no, they're playing terribly again. I want to turn this off now. So.
Yeah. I mean,
with them, but I did find it kind of humorous, and, you know, I mean, I know the reason. You know, you and I have kind of talked about this before, but I saw an article today that was talking about how Kyrie Irving is the front runner for MVP. It's like, we've played 20 games. Who cares who the front runner is for MVP? But then I always go back and I think of the thing you always say, that these guys need articles and they've got to write something. So this must have just been what this guy came up with, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, we're not even halfway to halfway to halfway. Or maybe we are halfway to halfway.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, one of those goofy things. I was like, wait, what? Who's what? You know, of course he's the MVP. The Celtics have won, you know, just about every game they've played. And, you know, why wouldn't, you know, you do that? So, you know, I was like, you know, it makes total sense.
Well, I mean, if you want to call him MVP so far, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of the thing, right? It's like, okay, you know, here's a, you know, here it is. So, you know, just whatever, you know, whatever you want to weigh it out to be, or however you want to do it. I was like, that's great. But yeah, it's, you know, we're 20 games deep. Let's not, you know, let's not go over that wall just kind of yet. So, but yeah, hey, what do I know, right? I guess maybe he will end up being the MVP.
Well, and then LeBron will ask you to define MVP.
Yeah. Again, yes. What does MVP mean? You know. So that will be that will have to be what we decide on. So, you know, we'll have to see. But jumping off here, Dan, we actually had we got another minor trade in Major League Baseball, Dan. So we got a little bit of action. This time it's the Orioles. They picked up outfielder Jacob Brugman from the Athletics. He's going in return, Dan, for the of course all important player to be named later, or cash. So he had a short call up with the A's, just 48 games, but he did hit .266 with 3 bombs and 12 RBIs. If I remember correctly, he may have hit 2 of those 3 home runs in 1 game against the White Sox. So, but he is he's a left-handed hitting center fielder. I believe the Orioles have Seth Smith, their other lefty outfielder, is a free agent. So, you know, this way, if they decide not to bring him back, they have a bit of a platoon system out there, if that's the way they choose to go with, what's their outfield prospect's name? Austin Hayes. That's it. There it is. I had to look for it. So, you know, they could go that route if that's something they were interested in doing. But, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. You know, the Orioles have a bit of an interesting setup. You know, they have a really solid everyday lineup, and then, you know, at the top of the rotation, you know, they've got your guy Dylan Bundy and then Kevin Gausman. You know, Gausman closed out really well last year, and I mean, we've been waiting for Bundy. It seems like he's been pitching for 15 years in the big leagues now, but he's all at 25. Is he, you think he's ready to be a true number one?
I mean, it's been, 5 years since he was drafted, so it's about time he starts making that move.
Yeah, it's actually been 6. He was the 4th pick in the 2011 draft. So it's 5 years for Gausman. Oddly enough, he was the 4th pick in the 2012 draft. So...
Yeah, it was a year off.
Yeah, no, you were right there. You know, I mean, it looks like they have a little work to do with the rest of their rotation, because right now it's listed as Gabriel Noah, Alec Asher, and Miguel Castro. And I know Castro's a prospect. He's going to be 23 soon. But Noah and Asher, I don't think they're guys that are, you know, going to be right there. So I don't know, maybe they bring back a Jeremy Hellickson, or they try to re-sign Chris Tillman to a short-term deal. But it definitely looks like, as of now, they need a starter, but probably so does every other team in Major League Baseball. It's just the way they kind of have it listed now. But, did you buying Bundy as a one? I mean, I know you kind of think he's ready, but when the time comes, is he going to be that guy? Is he going to be able to go out and be the guy who stops the losing streaks and all that other stuff?
I want him to be, but I don't think so yet. I think he's still a year away. No, I think they need a number one to kind of fill that role. I forgot what the issue was, but, and I know they're not big time money spenders, and this one's just kind of throwing it out there, but do you think they have any interest in bringing Jake back?
His name hasn't came up there. I don't know why they wouldn't, as long as they could get the right deal that they thought was favorable. But even the deals I've heard, when they were talking, 4 years at $100 million, that's not too bad for Arrieta, because a lot of people were saying, six, or, he would want six with an option. So, if you're just going on a 4 year deal like that with him, I think that's pretty good. So I would think they would be in on it. Like you said, notoriously, they don't, really throw that kind of money around. I know, Trumbo, I think, was the guy they signed. I guess the main concern would be, would they make a move like that? Because I think Machado is up this off season, and that's going to cost them. So that, that could be interesting. But, the other player, the other player I wanted to get your thoughts on, I've been seeing this, a couple different guys write about this, and the question to start the article is, is Eric Hosmer worth $100 million? So, all right, now Dan, I got his stats up here. Last year he played in every game. The year before that he played in 158, and in 2015 he played in 158. He's had back-to-back 25 home run seasons. He drove in 94 this year, 104 last year, and then 93 in 2015. Those have by far been his best seasons. He's actually a four-time Gold Glove winner already in his career. He's just 28. He's a left-handed hitter. You got to figure, you're giving him 4 or 5 years, probably right around that $25 million mark. Is he worth it to you? I mean, is he a guy who can, anchor your team and your lineup?
I think he could, but I would go 5 for 100. He kind of reminds me of kind of on the same playing level. And I don't know if you're on Baseball Reference and who they compare, who his comps are. But I would think he sounds very much or very similar to Anthony Rizzo.
They have him compared to, similar batters through 27. Billy Butler, Freddie Freeman, Jeff Francoeur. There you go. Harold Baines is on that list as well. So, and then similar by age, he's comparable to Eddie Murray, which wouldn't be too bad. if he's Eddie Murray, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think the thing that makes him most attractive is the fact that he plays every day. It's nice to have a left-handed batter at first. Sometimes I feel like the stretch, in certain situations, I still feel like right-handed would be better, but maybe I'm wrong on that one. But I think the fact that you got a guy who not only can, but willing to play every day, you've got an old-school baseball player. And I think the one thing that works in his favor is he may fly a little more under the radar for teams looking for a first baseman because he doesn't, you know, even though he's part of a world, and I think a very integral part of that 2015, you know, he's not really a household name.
So, yeah, you know, you brought up, you know, an interesting point there as well. You know, we're talking about a guy who has World Series experience. So, you know, it's definitely a big deal. Plus, you know, that defense is going to be, you know, I mean, you know, you got that in your lineup every day. That's, you know, that's going to be big. You know, he made only 4 errors last year at first base.
Wow.
So,
and I think that's going to make it hard for him to hard for the Royals to be able to sign him again. You know, number one, he spent his time with the, you know, he spent a great amount of time with the team. He's got the ring, so now it's time to get paid, right?
Yeah, you know, you would think, you know, I mean, he was there. When did they bring him up? Well, that's when that wouldn't have been, that would have been really stupid. He came up in 2011 and he's basically been playing full time since he came up. So, you know, he was there 7 years. You know, he has a career 284 hitter. Last year he posted his best batting average at 318. So, you know, it looks like the power average is coming around. It's looking like, you know, he's going to be probably going to be a really good investment for, you know, whoever lands him. And, I don't know if he'll end up in a big market like Boston. I know, a left-handed hitter could do really well there with that short porch, down that right field line. So, you know, that could be an interesting fit. But, yeah, it's, you know, first base is always tough because – you know, you got to figure out who really needs one. And I mean, you know, I mean, could it be something where maybe the Indians bring him in and let Carlos Santana go?
Santana's, I mean, not considerably older, but in baseball years.
Well, he's a state agent. Kind of yeah.
Well, I meant, you know, going by age. Wouldn't you, of course, want to sign a younger guy?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess it would kind of deem who you think gives you the better chance to win. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Santana, you know, a good player, but he doesn't, I don't think he has Hosmer-like numbers. And, you know, he's not a true first baseman. He made the switch from catcher. So, you know, it's you know, a little different. And, you know, he did man up and play some outfield for him last year. But yeah, here you go. He played 154 games, hit 23 home runs and 79 RBIs, but he hit just 259. And he is, what is he here? Actually, Santana is older. Santana is 31, Hosmer's 28.
Yeah, that's, you know, I guess even in sports, it's not considerably older. But when you're looking at a 4 or 5 year contract that you're probably going to offer, you want on a first baseman, you know, Hosmer will be 32, 33 towards the end of that, where Santana, if he went 4, would be, you know, 34, 35 by the end of it. So I don't know. I think, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, Hosmer probably be a perfect fit for Cleveland. You know, I'm trying to rack my brain for, you know, what team, especially the playoff team, and not that I want to discount, you know, at least 10 of the teams. I hate to do that, but I mean, let's be honest, there's a handful of teams that you and I both know, especially when we look at it this spring training, that really aren't going to be make a playoff run, but they are Major League Baseball teams, and I don't want to discount them. But I mean, you know, I'm trying to think about the situation in Milwaukee and in Toronto.
Yeah, well, you know, Milwaukee brought in, oh, God, I'm drawing a blank on his name last year. The guy from, they brought back the guy from Korea, Eric Thames.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, and they signed a pretty good deal. So you think they're kind of set. Toronto could be interesting. You know, I'm trying to remember who played over there. Well, they had Justin Smoke last year who, you know, played first base. And, you know, Kendrys Morales was their DH. I guess it depends on their contract situations, you know, on how tied up they were. But, you know, what about a team? Do you think maybe the Rangers step in here with a guy like this?
They would definitely be a great landing spot because, I mean, they've been – they haven't really filled that spot since no longer able to play the game. And if they're able to land Ohtani, that's how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say Shota Ohto. If they're able to kind of bring Ohtani in, I think that would definitely entice Hosmer to maybe want to go there. But the other team I was thinking about that kind of came out of nowhere and can completely flip things around and who didn't technically have a solid first baseman would be Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, you know, here real quick on Texas, Dan, Mike Napoli was their first baseman last year. He did hit 29 homers, but drove in just 66 RBIs and only hit .193. So yeah, Hosmer would be a gigantic upgrade there if they, you know, if they decided to go that route. You know, Minnesota does have Joe Mauer. Mm-hmm. You know, he's definitely, you know, their first baseman. I mean, of course, you know, you can always swap guys in with DH, but they, I guess they got to decide what they're going to do with your guy, Kenny Vargas, first. I mean, he went up and down, it seemed like a million times last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's 26 now. I think they've got to make a decision on what they're going to do with him. But, yeah, you know, I mean, he, you know, definitely Hosmer could be a nice plug-in, you know, hitting third in front of Miguel Sano. That would be an interesting combination there. You know, of course, no, well, Mauer would hit second because that's where you put that guy, right? So Hosmer would have to hit third. I forget how these lineups are supposed to go, so... but yeah, now, you know, just with the Rangers real quick, what I'm interested in, Dan, is say they miss out on Ohtani, say the Yankees end up landing them. Could that pick up their pursuit a little more and want to land a bigger bat like Hosmer?
Yeah. And I mean, not only a bigger bat, but I think a more consistent solid bat. I know we don't really factor this in when trades are made, or, you know, trades, but free agencies and trades, but you know, how much does the park affect, you know, the change of scenery, how much will that affect or not affect it?
Well, yeah, and you wonder if Hosmer's home run numbers go up, not playing 81 games in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
you know, and Dan, you know, when it comes to Hosmer, Dan, I don't want you to count my Mariners out. All right, right now their first baseman is Danny Valencia, so don't count my Mariners out on knocking on that Eric Hosmer door there, because he could, unless they're gonna maybe actually give Vogelbach a shot, which it didn't look like. You know, he definitely would be a gigantic upgrade for them, you know, at first base. So. Don't discount my Seattle guys. I know how you are with them. Actually, that's Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I forget about Vogelbach. I always want to call him Michael.
Yeah.
The other guy.
Yes.
Oh, he had LASIK surgery. He's going to be great.
Yeah, and then sadly that didn't help him, you know. So now, you know, just kind of a you know, maybe an interesting roundabout team here when it comes to Hosmer. And, you know, could it possibly be the Giants who make this move and then Brandon Belt goes to left field full time?
Does Belt have that experience in the outfield?
Yeah. He's played quite a bit of outfield, actually. In his, you know, career with the Giants. I want to double check before I go with quite a bit, because that's a you know, that's a big number there, but let me hunt him down quickly. He has played 67 games in his career in left field and 3 in right field. So he does have 70 games of outfield experience.
Who's their third baseman, though? Didn't they let the guy they had go to Suarez, Eduardo, didn't he go to Boston?
Yeah, well, they traded Nunez to Boston. you know, they still have Pablo on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, Kelby Tomlinson is still there. I don't know if he would be the everyday guy. And don't forget, they brought that rookie up who had some success right away, but then kind of flatlined, that Christian Arroyo. He's only 22 years old, so you wonder if maybe he's going to be their third baseman. You know, if not next year, maybe down the line. So, but you know, like, you know, we know.
It would be a great landing spot. I mean, how can you not want to go to San Francisco? You've got a full house almost every day. And if Belt can move up to left field, pretty much shore up that spot. And then if they're able to land Hosmer, they're just center fielder away. Minus some pitching. Well, they still have pretty solid pitching if the guys they have can get it up this year.
You've got to think that pitching back, right? You know, I mean, as long as Bumgarner stays healthy, you know, Cueto can't be as bad as he was last year. And, you know, I really thought Samardzija would do better. Yeah, you know, I thought Samardzija and Moore would do better as like 3 and 4s because they wouldn't face such bad matchups. But, man, they both really scuffled. And, you know, at times Ty Black looked like he's going to be okay. I mean, he's just 26. So, you know, it takes a little while for pitchers to kind of develop. You know, who knows? Maybe next year is Chris Stratton's year to get into the rotation. So, you know, I definitely think they're the team that's in for just a huge bounce back. You know, I can't see them being 64 and 98 again. I just can't see it. But yeah, you know, that's always one of just, you know, kind of those unique spots, you know, especially, you know, I know the Giants have kind of been front and center right now in the Giancarlo Stanton deal, but you know, that's one of those things, if he decides he doesn't want to go there because he does have a full no trade clause, you know, that could be an interesting move for him. You know, I don't know, like a JD Martinez or one of the other top outfielders. You know, maybe a move like that could work for him. You know, Hosmer would be an upgrade defensively at first base, and, you know, Belt can handle himself in left field, and then you add, you know, a little bit of power in a bigger ballpark, but, you know, you're looking at another guy to hit 300, probably, you know, either in front of or behind Buster.
Yeah, who was able to pick it up last year.
Oh, but all right, the music means it's time for Dan to take off. So Dan's got to get rid of his hiccups first. But, you know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there and read the new blog. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, of course, at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you would like to. We'll play with you there. It's no problem. As always, a big thanks for listening live. I know the switch might have goofed you up a little bit today, but if you found us live, that's cool. If not, you can go and listen to this podcast anytime you want over at tunein.com.